Welcome to All Things Apostolic on Labor Day, September the 1st, 2025. The year's running fast. You're going to have to get on your horse or you're not going to get everything done this year. So here we are, saddling up the alligators and getting ready to run the race. We're in the end time. The Bible tells us that, I'm trying to think of where it's at. Let me look here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So here we are. We got the army in our own capital trying to quell the perils of crime and disobedience that is taking place there. So people see that, and then some people say, well, I'm afraid that's going to end up to be big government dominates everything, dictatorship. And others say, well, if we don't have it, we're going to have chaos. So people are caught. This scripture that in the last days perilous times shall come, we're experiencing peril. On one hand, the peril of lawlessness. On the other hand, the peril of government that gets used to taking over everything and keeps doing it. So do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't think that's going to happen. But history records examples of it happening. So anyway, we are in perilous times. There is also the fact that there is iniquity abounds. And now this phone that I hold in my hand has the potential for a six-year-old, if they get a hold of it, to go to stuff that's way beyond them, or a 12-year-old get a hold of it. And you don't even have to have a phone. The Christian home, which is meant to be holy and righteous in the day in which we live, has to think about the things that it's allowing into that home. Of course, this is part of that. The internet's part of that. Television coming into the home. How much content on television is of spiritual benefit? And the home is meant to be a sanctuary where family can come and there's no harmful elements within the walls of that home. And so you set this television that has virtually no content of a spiritual nature on it, and you set it there, and it has much content of things that are all at the best carnal, at the very best banal, and very little that is even information that is valuable to somebody. At its worst, it's promoting all kinds of things, and you're supposed to be a Christian. You've got that sitting in your home. What's the matter with you? Can you not discern that it is promoting transgenderism? It is promoting things that are against the welfare of the human race. It's promoting immorality. It's promoting smoking and drinking. It's promoting people who are known, even though they're famous, to be constant partiers and drug users. And all of this is set up and posed as being people that are ideals that young people should look at. And you've got all this in your home, the way people dress, their appearance, their talk, their language. All of these things are just coming in to people's homes because they haven't kept them out. If you talk about it, they try to talk about you being a legalist or whatever. Well, then put it in your home if that's what you want. We're not telling you what to do. We're just telling you what a Christian who is conscientious about Jesus Christ and about their children and about the purity of their home, this is what they would do. This is what they are doing. Because when you call the home a holy place, when you call it a sanctuary, sanctuary comes from the same root as sanctified. And when you use the word sanct in it, you are gesturing towards that it's a holy place. It's a place separated from that which is evil or unclean or common. And everything that is entertainment falls in these categories, at least of being the common. So even things that in their nature are not immoral. Professional sports have an addictive component. Very, very obviously, who would want to argue with that? They have an addictive component. When you are a fan, the origin of the word is fanatic. And so there is the cult of organized sports and professional sports and athletes and all that goes with that world. And there is lack of transparency in that world. There is seduction. There is fakery, fiction. It's a world of fiction. And so even the people who are lauded in movies are actors. What's the opposite of an actor? Well, an actor is somebody that's acting out something, acting like it's true, as opposed to a person that just is authentic. So there's a difference in acting and authenticism. And then there is the component of appearance. So all the stuff that we do that makes us where you don't see transparently, you don't see the real person, but you see a made-up makeup, a made-up version of that person, a made-up version. It's not the real person. It's a made-up version. So you can take off the made-up part and have to take off the made-up part to get to the real part. So all of this has to do with the difference in the inwardness of being a Christian, as opposed to the outwardness of the appeal of the flesh and of the world. And this inwardness is where the glory of God dwells, that all of the outward accoutrements are attempting to replicate or are counterfeits of the beauty and the glory that comes from within. This is why in the New Testament you have two primary women mentioned from the Old Testament. Two. One is Sarah, and the other is Jezebel. Sarah is mentioned in the writings of the Apostle Simon Peter, and Jezebel is mentioned in the writings of the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Those two women were so powerful that they come to the New Testament and they are juxtaposed. And you see this clearly, we're talking about the last days, the end of the present age, the eschaton, and from which we get eschatology. And at the end of this, you have this juxtaposition of Sarah as a model of beauty and Jezebel as a model of another kind of beauty. And so Sarah is so beautiful. Did you ever notice when you read the Old Testament, all of the biblical women are portrayed as very beautiful, very fair? Doesn't mean they're light skinned. Very fair was a word for beauty. And that Sarah was so beautiful that her husband said, tell them that you're my sister when we go into this foreign land where they don't know us. Otherwise, you're so beautiful, they will kill me so that they can have you. And they go into the land. Now listen, all the king's men in the land that were running the border immigration station, when they saw this woman, Sarah, this is how, what a knockout she was. When they saw her, they sent to the king and said, you got to see this woman. These guys were used to being in the king's court. And the king was, of course, used to being in the king's court, where there was a whole harem of the most beautiful women in the land. And yet these guys, who knew what a beautiful woman looked like, said, you got to see this woman. This woman is killer beautiful. And so they take her to the king, and he sees her, and he wants her over all of the women of his harem. This is Sarah. But her beauty was not that of exterior. The Bible says it was the ornament of her spirit, because a spirit comes out through a person's face. This is why what we do with our face is so important. Your face, if you're a Christian, your face is holy. In fact, your whole body is holy. In fact, you don't even own your body. God owns your body. And he tells you whether he wants you to do this or that with your body. Now, if you're in a world, you own your own body, or the devil's helping you out a little bit, then you could do what you want to do. But if you're Christian, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And those are things that you, those are implications to being a Christian. You're bought with a price. He says, what? Know ye not that ye are not your own? Your body is not your own. Ye are bought with a price. And so out of Sarah emanates this glorious beauty, so spectacular. I get this with my wife everywhere I go. They don't ever say, man, you're sure handsome. They say, that woman has something about her. What is it? Well, it's not makeup. It's not dye. It's not tattoos. It's not jewelry. It's not any of those things. How does she manage this? But she does. But it's the inward spirit that Sarah had, and that a spirit-filled Christian has. That spirit was so beautiful. It is so beautiful. It's so powerful. It's so intrinsic to purity and to godliness, but to, it's so attractive to people that Abraham got a good balling out for lying about it being his sister instead of his wife, but he did get her back. The other one that's mentioned in the New Testament is Jezebel. And Jezebel, we're talking about the end times here. This is stuff of the end times. And Jezebel, the Bible talks about how she painted her face and how she put on what would be called an artificial kind of beauty. Her cosmetics comes from the word cosmos, which means the world, the glow of the universe, the sparkle of the stars, the beauty of the colors. All of that is incorporated out of the world and artificially put on the body to attempt to get the glory of the universe, the glory of the heavens, shining, sparkling. But all of that's artificial. But there is a beauty. There's a beauty that Jezebel didn't know about. So in these end times, you have this juxtaposition becomes more graphic, more stark, and you can see it. This is one of the signs of the end time. In the end time, there are signs that are moral. There are signs that are social. There are signs that are physical and geographical that take place in the end time. Now, we've been talking about moral signs, spiritual signs. There are spiritual signs. There's those four categories there that I just named. And This falls in the spiritual and the moral that we've been discussing. But there's also geographical signs of the end time, which are incredibly sobering to think about. We don't have time to get into all that today, but I will tell you, this is a good time for you to assess your life. And when people talk about holiness, they don't get the idea sometimes that that's talking about the whole man being redeemed and being strong and not having weaknesses where it constantly pulls us down and eventually kills us. So you stand strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. God bless you.